Cassie Hobbs has always been able to read people with uncanny precision. Working at Romano's Diner, she can predict exactly how customers like their eggs, whether they'll want extra napkins, and what they'll order before they open the menu. This talent isn't supernatural. It's observation, pattern recognition, and intuition working in perfect harmony, a complex dance she's known all her life. These abilities are a painful reminder of her mother, Lorelei, who built a career claiming psychic abilities while actually possessing the same natural profiling skills as her daughter. One unremarkable Tuesday, a well-dressed teenage boy leaves her a $20 tip alongside an FBI business card after she correctly guesses not just his breakfast preference, but also that he's left-handed and recently started playing tennis. When Cassie reaches out, hoping for news about her mother's unsolved murder, she discovers Agent Tanner Briggs wants to recruit her for a specialized program because she's a natural, someone with an innate ability to read people that peaks during the teenage years. The program's dual purpose, to educate participants while honing their natural skills and to use those abilities to assist the FBI with cold cases. For Cassie, whose mother was brutally stabbed 5 years earlier, her body never found, the opportunity resonates deeply. "I need to do this," Cassie tells her resistant grandmother. For her, for all the other mothers and daughters who might never get to make memories like we did. Cassie's new home is a Victorian mansion in Quantico adorned with portraits of serial killers. There, she meets her fellow naturals, Michael, who reads emotions through facial expressions, Leah, who detects lies effortlessly, and Sloane, who calculates complex probabilities while sharing random facts. Dean, brooding and mysteriously uncomfortable around Cassie, shares her natural profiling ability. When Michael mentions Dean's knowledge of killer psychology, he storms off, leaving Cassie curious about his past. The house is designed for full immersion training, with basement crime scene simulations and a swimming pool that reveals fluorescent blood spatter under blacklight, every space teaching these teenagers to think like predators to catch them. At a mall, Agent Lacey Locke teaches Cassie and Dean to profile strangers, showing Cassie how using either I or you when profiling becomes a powerful psychological tool. During Leah's manipulative truth or dare game, Cassie discovers Dean was the first natural recruited, working with Agent Briggs since age 12. More shocking, FBI transcripts reveal Dean's father is Daniel Redding, a notorious serial killer. When confronted, Dean responds bitterly, "What, you thought I was just naturally good at getting inside killers' heads?" He confesses his burden, not just being a murderer's son, but fearing he inherited his father's dark impulses. Cassie's training takes a disturbing turn, examining photos of murdered women, redheads, and psychics, women resembling her mother. When a fresh victim appears, a palm reader with hair dyed red post-mortem, Cassie suspects a connection to her mother's unsolved case. Despite being forbidden from active investigations, the naturals secretly obtain the case files. When Cassie receives a black box containing a lock of red hair with a note reading, "From me to you," the danger becomes undeniable. The killer knows who she is and has made her his obsession. When the UN sub abducts 15-year-old Genevieve Ridgerton, a senator's daughter, they leave a message. "Cassie, won't it look better red?" The killer targets others because Cassie is protected, forcing her to choose between safety and innocent lives. Despite objections, Director Sterling approves using Cassie as bait. At Club Muse, where Genevieve was taken, Cassie finds coded graffiti pointing to Lorelei and North Oakland, leading to a theater connected to her mother's acting career. There, they discover a murder scene recreating Cassie's mother's death, with a small, red-haired victim positioned to trigger Cassie's trauma. Cassie and Dean make a crucial discovery. The blood on her mother's light switch came from Cassie turning it on, not the killer. This proves the UN sub couldn't have been her mother's murderer. The team concludes the killer must be someone in law enforcement with FBI file access. When Cassie learns Leah received her mother's signature rose red lipstick left on her bed, she realizes the killer has been inside their house, and Agent Locke urgently tells her to escape. At the safe house, Michael and Dean draw weapons until shots ring out. Michael falls wounded by Agent Lacey Locke. In the basement, Locke reveals a beaten Genevieve Ridgerton and stabs her when Cassie refuses to do it herself. "I did everything for you," Locke screams. "I found you. I made you special." Locke then reveals her true identity, Lacey Hobbs, Cassie's maternal aunt. She explains how Cassie's mother, Lorelai, abandoned her with their abusive father. Lacey joined the FBI seeking vengeance, having spent years killing women resembling Lorelai while working toward Cassie not to kill her, but to mold her. Cassie pretends she killed her own mother, distracting Lacey long enough for the wounded Michael to reach his gun and fire, killing Lacey as she lunges to attack. After Agent Locke's betrayal, the Naturals program hangs in the balance. Despite their trauma, these teenagers remain valuable FBI assets, their abilities forming an exceptional team for solving baffling cases. The cost of these gifts becomes increasingly evident. Dean struggles with his father's murderous legacy, confessing to Cassie, "Sometimes I think like them without even trying. What does that make me?" Michael's charm masks a troubled past of wealth and violence, while Leah's lie detection prevents genuine connections, and Sloane's mathematical genius comes with social difficulties. Cassie bears perhaps the heaviest burden. Her profiling ability links her to both her murdered mother and murderous aunt, raising troubling questions about nature versus nurture. If relatives with similar abilities chose different paths, what might her future hold? "We're not defined by what we can do," Briggs reminds them. "We're defined by what we choose to do with it." The Naturals program operates in a moral gray area, training teenagers to think like killers to catch predators, yet this carries psychological risks they hadn't anticipated. "There's a thin line," Dean explains, "between understanding killers and becoming them." This line manifests in their training. Agent Locke teaches Cassie to use I or you when profiling, a grammatical choice representing psychological distance. Using I means temporarily inhabiting a murderous mindset. What they didn't know was their mentor had already crossed that line. Her profiling ability came from her own murderous impulses, not academic study. The program meant to catch predators had empowered one. This revelation forces each natural to question themselves. If Locke could be a killer, how can they trust their own minds or be sure they aren't awakening something dangerous within? Their strength lies in facing this danger together. Unlike Lacey, who embraced her dark impulses, the naturals choose protection over predation, finding safety not in isolation, but in trusting each other.